Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who will ever enter a charge against God's chosen? God is the acquitter. Who will ever enter a charge against God's chosen? God is the acquitter. Old Latin, AD, equals the word to, and the Q-U-I-T-R-E, or something like that, equals the word set free. In the original, I don't know. I know coming out, King James is translated out of the Latin Vulgate, so when they used it, they more or less transliterated it. Who will enter a charge against God's chosen? God is the acquitter. Who is the condemner? Jesus Christ is he who died, what's more, rose again, who is at God's right hand, who also pleads on our behalf. Who is the accuser and who's the acquitter? God has acquitted us. Because of Jesus Christ, we can stand before him. And when it says to acquit, it not only means to set free, but it also carries the idea that the debt is paid in full, that the debt has been just discharged. All ramifications of the charges brought against a particular person have been removed away from him. He is no longer responsible before the law and therefore before God or anyone else for what he has done or supposedly done. It doesn't matter at this point. Once a person is declared acquitted, he is set free, never to be charged on that again. God has acquitted us. Who shall condemn us? Jesus Christ? No. He's the one that died for us. And yes, it says that he rose again to set us free. If you read in Job, I think it's like chapter 9, verse 22. We don't really have to read it, but I can tell you what went on. We all know that Satan, which translate the adversary went before God. God was talking. Satan at that time was not the adversary of God. He is the adversary of mankind. He's the one that's accusing mankind. He went before God. God was talking to him about Job, and he said, I accuse him, and names the, you know, that he only liked God because of all the blessings God gave him. God is the judge. God is the one that's standing back and says, that's not true. You accused him of it. Bring your proof. So he brought his proof, or he tried. He dumped all this bad stuff on Job. Job, at the end of the whole chapters, all the way through it, he gets to the end and he said, I would that I would like to talk to you like a man to man. I'd like to sit down and talk to you, God. And that's where the part that's always puzzled me is God starts coming forth and saying, Job, you don't understand. Were you there whenever I circumscribed the heavens? Were you there when I put the oceans in their place and told them to stay put? Were you there when I put the monsters of the deep in the monsters in the deep? And were you there whenever I put the birds free? Were you there when I put the stars in the heavens and told them to start singing? Were you there at the day spring when I told him how to grab a hold? And it's in there in your other translations, good translations, is, were you there when I told day spring how to grab a hold of all creation and shake it? There is a shaking coming. The Bible says one of these days, day spring means the one who springs forth, the light springs forth from, and Jesus Christ is the one who created all things. He is our day spring. He's the one that's the light, and he's the one that brought forth the light, and he's the one that God told how to grab a hold of creation and to shake it. He said, were you there? Basically, what he was saying to Job is, guy, you are not in the league of Satan to try your case in my court. Satan knows the ins and outs of all the laws. You don't. You don't have a clue. And that's how come whenever, if you ever go to trial, they say, A fool uses himself as a lawyer. You find the best lawyer you can find that your money can pay for if you're going to go to court because you want somebody that knows the ins and outs and the laws and how they're twisted, how they're used, how they're applied, so that he can stand before the judge and argue your case. Job never had that. Never had that. He would like to have had that. That's what he's talking about in chapter 9, around verse 22, somewhere in there. He said, I wish that I had an umpire. I wish that I had an arbitrator. I wish that I had somebody who could take up my cause and go before God and argue with God, not with God, but argue with the adversary before God, before the bench of God, and argue with him and argue my case. And God said, guy, you don't have it yet. You are a human. You are not qualified to approach the courts of heaven and argue your case. But there is a day coming that was talked about in Genesis. There is a day coming whenever the one who would be called the seed, the righteous branch of Israel, who would come upon the face of this earth, who would live among us, and who would be our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's why it says there, who shall separate us? Who shall condemn us? Jesus Christ is the one who died, who rose again, who is at God's right hand, who pleads on our behalf. He is now our advocate. He is our lawyer. He is the one that stands before God and says, this is a case I would like to argue before you, God. This is something I would like to talk about. And he knows the he knows the law inside and out. Most people don't understand the workings of the law. But for some reason, when you read it out of this document, people say, yeah, yeah, yeah. If I read it out of this document, people go, Here's what this document says. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impel them to separate. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these, not limited to, but among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem likely to affect their safety and happiness. And then it just goes on about why we cut ties with Great Britain. But in the course of human events, the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them. And we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, which means rights that cannot be taken away. These rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those rights cannot be taken away. Cannot. But I had a boss who used to tell me, everything is legal as long as you don't get caught. Basically, if you can get away with it, it's as good as legal. People say, that ain't right. But that is right. That is right. If I walk into your house and you're watching television and I say, just remain seated, and you just look at me, I go over to your billfold or your purse, rifle through it, take out all the cash, say thank you very much, put it in my pocket and walk off. And you have not protested, you did not call the law, eventually the law will come to you and say, why didn't you do something? Well, silence gives consent. Silence gives consent. We have the right not to testify against ourselves. But when somebody is impinging upon our rights, and according to that document, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it is up to us to stand up and to say, this isn't right, and to demand our rights in a court of law, and to hire that lawyer and to go after that person for the restitution of our property. But if we do not assert ourselves on those rights, that we should not be robbed, that things should not be taken from us, that they could not move onto our property, you can just make a list of all the things that people aren't supposed to do to each other. But if we do not stand up and say that is wrong and call the law, silence gives consent. The judge would say to you, you never protested, you never called the law, you never ran out and yelled, help, help, help. That person gets away with your money and they get to keep it. If I move in on your property and you don't throw me off of it, I build my house, I put my mailing address up there, I go to the court and say, I'm the one paying the taxes on that property now, from now on. And if they take my money, after 7 years, I can just file a quick claim and say, that was abandoned property. They never threw me off. They abandoned it to me. I claim it. I get a deed. I get your property. And the court will stand on my side because you didn't protest it. You didn't stand up for your rights. You see, there are things that are important in this world. John chapter 10:10 says, the thief comes to kill and to destroy. The thief comes to kill and to destroy. Jesus Christ is our advocate. Jesus Christ is the one that we're to turn to. What I'm saying is this, folks. We have been given certain, not rights, but we have been given by the gift of grace through Jesus Christ who died for our sin. We have been given, I hate to use the word things, but I don't know of a word that works any better. We have been given certain things, righteousness, given. We didn't earn it. Given. We have peace. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives peace, give I to you, but my peace I give to you. We have been given peace. We have been given joy. There are other things that we have been given. When Christ died and suffered, He didn't just die for our sins. He died for us. When it says He died in our place, He literally died for us, meaning, evidently I just can't communicate this quite as clear as it should be. He stood before God and said, I am Doyle Williams and I am dead. I am Doyle Williams and I am dead. I am Billy, I am dead. I am Penny, I am dead. I am Charlie, I am dead. He literally died in my place. Therefore, whenever I trusted in Him, He said, there are things that I give you. I give you the right to go before the judge, and I will be your lawyer. I give you the right for peace. Not that you won't have tribulations in this world. You will have them, but anytime you're having tribulations, you should have peace with those. Utter confidence that God is going to be on your side and is going to favor you and bless you. What I'm trying to say is very, very simple. When He died, He gave you stuff. Peace, righteousness, health, understanding, wisdom, help. An open door to the very presence of God, and He gave you an advocacy. Jesus Christ, the righteous, standing on the right hand of God. He gave you the right, but let me tell you this, if you do not exercise your rights, the thief will come and steal your peace. The thief will come and steal your health. The thief will come and steal your joy. The thief will even come and tell you that you are not righteous. You see, what happened is whenever Jesus died and we accepted Him as our personal Savior, we went from the citizen of this world to the citizen of the next world. And the laws that applied to us while we lived here, that we should pay and die and go to hell for our sins, are no longer applicable to us because we belong to this citizenry now. And the person who is on the hook for the law is Satan. You see, we have been acquitted. We stood before God and Jesus died for us, and He said, that person, trust me, I acquit him, I pay him in full, I pay off his debts, I set him free, he can walk away, he came in through the door, he can walk out the door, he can pasture, I am his shepherd, I will lead, guide, and direct, he belongs to me, he is a citizen of heaven, he's no longer a citizen of earth, he is not a subject of the prince of the power of the air, he is a subject of the God and of the King, Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever, and he falls under my purview. Satan can stand there and he can lie to you about all sorts of stuff, and if you will believe him because you don't know what the Scripture says, he will lie to you and take your joy, he'll take your peace, he'll take your understanding, he'll take your health, he'll take anything away from you that he can, because he's a thief, and if he gets away with it, it's your problem. That's what he does, is lie. But you have a lawyer. When he is stealing that from you and you say, I know that Jesus said, I give you my peace, and I don't have it, you say, Jesus, I need you to take Satan to the court, and I want you to sue him and demand that he give me back that which belongs to me, my peace that you gave me. Now Jesus has got a case. Jesus can say, God, judge, Satan, that liar has stolen from this person over here something which I gave them, and they are demanding it back from him, and I want you to enforce the law that he is under, to give back that which belongs to your child and to your citizen, the citizen of heaven. That guy stole it. Thefted it right out from underneath him. And he got called on it. I want you to know, people can steal from you all day long, and if you don't call them on it, they'll walk out with it. I know, I've been in the grocery business. I have seen things walk out that door. I have seen in other stores people pick up stuff and walk out that door. And they got away with it. Will they eventually be held accountable? Yes, because it says in Hebrews chapter 9, that's an interesting one if you'll let me read that one to you. Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 22. According to the law, almost everything is purified by blood. And without bloodshedding, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So it is necessary that the copies of the earthly things be purified by sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves require something better than these sacrifices. For Christ has not entered into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear on our behalf in the presence of God, not to present himself repeatedly as an offering, as the high priest enters annually into the sanctuary with blood that's not his own. For if so, he must have suffered repeatedly since the world began. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the close of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is reserved for men to die once for all with judgment following, so will Christ, sacrificed once for all to bear the sins of many, appear the second time. But listen to what it says. He will appear the second time with no reference to sin to those who are eagerly looking for him, and that for their salvation. What he's saying is is Satan, when he was in heaven talking to Job, was actually defiling the holy temples of God. But he had a legal right at that time to present himself in the courts of God. Jesus Christ went up there with his own blood and sanctified and purified that. He purified that place. He opened it up for us so we could go into it. He opened it up for us and he gave us gifts of all kinds, moved us into that position. And then it says that when he comes back, he's coming back to judge sin, but not to those who are eagerly looking for him and that for their salvation. He's not coming back to judge our sins. He's coming back to judge the world's sins out there who refuse to accept him as their personal Savior. He is coming back to judge Satan and the denizens of this world. Yes, those people will eventually have to pay for the fact that they stole stuff from us because they have broken the laws of this world. But they still got away with it because we didn't get the product back. They will be judged. They will be punished. Because I didn't run after those people and yell, "Stop, stop, I'm calling the law." They walked away with the hot dogs. They walked away with the steak. There have been times that I have yelled, "Stop dead in your tracks, pick up the phone, I'm calling the law on you right now." That person did not get away with it. That person made restitution. That person made restitution over several years with many, many paychecks going through the court because he was called on it and I demanded my right because they stole several hundreds of dollars, over $1,000-some worth of cigarettes. And it was worth it to me to go after them. They didn't get away with it because I asserted my right in a court of law and demanded restitution. What am I saying? If you're lacking something that you know through the gospel of Jesus Christ that he gave you and he has given you everything that pertains to health, he has given you everything that pertains to life, it is your right, it is your duty if you want that. If you want your health back, if you want whatever it is that Satan has stole from you, it is your duty to go to that court and ask your lawyer, Jesus Christ, take up this case and get back that which was stolen from me from that lying dog over there. It might take a while. In the state of Illinois, it usually takes about 4 years or so to get through the court system. And it might take longer to get the restitution from those people. So don't expect it always to come just like that. But let me tell you, it won't come at all unless you stand up for what's yours. It won't come at all unless you say, "God, you have promised me certain things, and through Jesus Christ, I have been acquitted. I have been set free of every charge that was ever laid to me. And you have given me righteousness. You've given me peace. You've given me joy. You have promised me certain things, and they're not in my life. They have been stolen. I want them back. Jesus, take up my cause and keep hammering it. I want my stuff back." And expect restitution. You'll have it. You will have it. We're going to take communion. It says that there are many sick and weak and many sleep, which is die prematurely, because you don't discern the Lord's body. When you get ready to take the bread, take a moment and say, "Jesus Christ died for me. He has given me certain things, and I want them back," if you haven't got them. "I want them back. He set me free." Do you have an addiction? He set you free. Demand your freedom. It might not be easy, but you just keep demanding your freedom. Every time you take communion, you say, "Jesus, you died and you acquitted me. I want my freedom. I want my freedom. I can't get it, or I would have had it myself. I need my lawyer to stand up and force that person to give me my freedom. And I don't care what it is or what it takes, God. Jesus has already done died. That's the supreme right there. That's the supreme price was paid. Force him. You don't force him. I didn't have to go to those kids that stole those cigarettes. I didn't have to go to those people who have broken the stores over the years. The law goes after those people in the forms of cops. I don't know what goes after the angels and the fallen angels in heaven. I just know that when they go after them, they will take it away from them and give it back to us like it should have been. Whatever it is that you know for a fact that you were given by gift through Jesus Christ, when you take that bread, you realize that that is the price He paid for you to have it. He gave it to you. And you say, God, He died for me to set me free. He died for me to give me health. He died for me to give me peace. He died to give me joy. He died to give me hope. He died to give me eternal life. He died for whatever you know that's in there. And say, I want that. Then you eat that. And the next thing you'll get is that cup. And you say, this is a blood covenant. This is the ink that that thing is written in. I'm standing upon the signature of Jesus Christ, which is written in His own blood. I'm standing on this contract. And knock it back with the full assurance that it was signed, sealed, and delivered, and now you're standing there with your lawyer demanding what's yours. It took several years for those checks to start coming in from restitution, but we finally got all the restitution. It finally came in. I don't know how quick you'll get your restitution, but don't give up demanding it until you're standing there in front of God Himself. Don't give up saying, it's mine by right through Jesus Christ. I want it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for all of that stuff. But it's mine because you gave it to me. And if I don't demand what's mine, I disrespect the guy that gave it to me. I say, it's not worth it. Somebody gives me a car and I say, oh, that guy stole it and I didn't care. I didn't value that car then, did I? And I have seen kids whose parents have given them cars and four-wheelers and just motorcycles, and those kids just trash that stuff. They did not value the gifts that their parents gave them. And if you let Satan steal your gift, and you don't go after it, demanding it back, then you're saying, I don't value what you have given me, God. And you don't deserve peace. You don't deserve freedom. You don't deserve health. You don't deserve joy. You don't deserve peace. But if you value that stuff, go after it. Because God has given you that right and has given you a lawyer. Unlike Job, we've got an umpire. We've got an arbiter. We've got somebody who can take up our cause. Hold that bread and say, I know that your Bible says, your word says this, and I want it. God, here's the contract. I expect it. I'm waiting for you to bring it about. And every day, get up expecting today's the day of restitution. And if it's not there today, get up the next day and say, today's the day that I'm going to receive my restitution. My restitution. Now, if you lost it on your own, that's your problem. But my restitution, the things that were taken from me, my restitution. Stand there on it. And if you lost it on your own, then say, I could use some grace right at this point. I'm in dire need. I need grace. It's all there for us. And we've got to demand it. We've got to avail ourselves to it.